Thank you. As I've said over the past number of weeks, we've been looking through this letter of 1 Peter. Peter has been helping us understand a little bit about how we stand firm in a world that is increasingly shaky. And it can all seem like a tall order. We read through 1 Peter and we see all the things we should be putting into place in our lives, and we're almost tempted to throw up our hands. There's more than I can do. And when we do that, we're almost doing the right thing, because it is more than you or I could do. God calls us not to do things that are within our own ability, that are within our own strength, that are within our own understanding and reasoning. God pushes us beyond that, to do things which are beyond us, to do things which we can only do when we rely upon Him. But it can be difficult. Sometimes trying to live for Jesus, trying to stand for Him, can feel a bit like trying to stand in a bouncy castle. I don't know how many folks have I don't want you to go away with the idea that I do it regularly, but I have a few times stood in the bouncy castle, and if you're the only one in the bouncy castle, it's not too bad. You can stand fairly firm in it. But put another half a dozen people into it who are bouncing all sorts of directions, you have no chance at all. And especially if they're younger than you and a lot more energy than you, you have no chance. But there are times when standing for Jesus feels a bit like being in that bouncy castle, because we find it hard to stand firm when everything else around us is bouncing, when the world has become increasingly shaky. Thankfully, we are not left on our own to stand for Jesus. In the middle of this passage, which Raymond read for us a few minutes ago, is this wonderful verse, which brings us back to look at the God who calls us to stand firm. The God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. It's a great verse. There are great words in it to encourage us, because we all do want to be restored. We do want to be strong and firm and steadfast in our faith. These are things that we want, and these are things that we struggle with. These are things that we have tried to do on our own, and we have never managed. And so we're brought back to rely on this God of grace, this God who shows love where it's neither deserved nor expected. The God who pours His Holy Spirit into our lives to give us this power to stand for Him. This is the God of all grace who knows about us. Sometimes we have this picture of God who is distant and removed from us, who doesn't really understand everything that we go through, and we just have to put up with things until that day when we meet God. This is the God who knows us. As you read through the Bible, it becomes increasingly apparent that God knows us and knows us so well. Friday evening here, we looked at Psalm 139, where the psalmist simply marvels at the extent of God's knowledge of him. Jesus says, God knows you so well that even the hairs on your head are counted. Everything about you, God knows you. He knows that we struggle on our own. He knows that. Sometimes we try to hide it. How are you doing? I'm fine. Big smile. Whereas if we could see beyond the smile, very often, I'm not great. I'm struggling living out this Christian life. The God of all grace knows. And so it's interesting, at the end of this letter, Peter talks about the church. the church, and the elders. We don't stand on our own. We stand together as part of the body of Christ. Elders are here to lead and to guide and direct us together. Elders who do what they do, not because they have to, but because that's what God has called them to be and to do. And they want to be obedient. God has given us the gift of the church so that we stand together, not on our own. Strong, firm, steadfast. And the thing is, when we're dependent on grace, when we realize, when we acknowledge, this is too much for me, I can't do this on my own, I need you, God. When we get to that stage, there's no room for arrogance. If we could do it on our own, then, yeah, arrogance would creep in. How are you doing? I'm struggling. But God gives me grace day by day. God, the God of grace, knows that we need each other. And so Peter simply says, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. That's how we work with one another, love one another, care for one another, carry one another's burdens, encourage one another, pray for one another. There are so many one another's in the New Testament for us to work out within the context of the church, the body of Christ. The God of all grace knows that we can't do this on our own. The God of all grace knows about the anxieties and the worries that we carry. And we all carry them at different times, to different degrees. Things that maybe keep us awake at night, things that if we wake at night, that's the first thing through our heads. We all carry those anxieties, those worries. And it's hard to stand firm whenever those worries, those anxieties distract you. They become dominating in our lives. And so Peter reminds us that we're called to cast our anxieties, not to carry them. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I remember hearing about someone who had major things that he could have worried about, but he didn't worry about them. Every night, he gave it over to God. And his reasoning was this: I need to sleep. God's going to be awake. He can do the worry, and I'll sleep. Cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. You can trust him with your cares, with your anxieties. The God of all grace knows we can't do this on our own. The God of all grace knows that we carry these things when we should be casting them down before him. The God of all grace knows that we are confronted by the enemy day by day. And sometimes when we talk about the enemy, maybe you're thinking of a person, maybe you're thinking of a group of people. The Bible says no. The enemy is the devil. Now, it's not very fashionable. And when we think about the devil, when we think about Satan, we think of those cartoon depictions of little horns and a sort of long red tail. And if we can keep thinking about that, that does him great service. Peter says he's like a roaring lion. Now, I think I've told you before, at one stage many years ago, Heather and I camped a little two-man tent in the Maasai Mara in Kenya. Very thin nylon tent. And I don't know that we slept that much because there was a lion prowling around looking for something for supper. So this verse, sort of, I can resonate with this. But even more, Peter was talking to people who were being horribly persecuted. Peter was talking to people who may actually have witnessed Christians been driven into an arena with lions. They knew what this was like. And Peter says, that's what it's like. Satan's out to get you. But I know you can't do this on your own. That's why we've got the church. That's why we have each other. But I know you can't carry all those worries and anxieties. That's why I want you to cast them before me. And so we're called to be self-controlled, to be alert. It's interesting. Remember Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus kneels to pray, and Peter and the other disciples go off and they fall asleep. Maybe Peter is reflecting on that and saying, you know what, we need to be self-controlled. We need to be awake. We need to be alert, because the devil is on the prowl. We need to resist, to stand firm. The God of all grace knows. The God of all grace provides. As you read through this chapter, you find this in so many ways. In the church, in each other, provision for our cares, our worries. And as we come to this table, here's a reminder that the God of all grace has provided for us most of all in Jesus. The God of all grace provided his one and only Son to take our place, to take the punishment that should have been ours, so that the enemy is defeated. On our own, we will never do it. When Jesus died on the cross, Satan was defeated. So there are times when we are made to remember things and feel guilty for things that are in our past. Someone has said, when Satan reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. He's defeated because Jesus has died for us. God, the God of all grace, has provided for us. The God of all grace has provided for you here and now, because this God raised Jesus from the dead. And we have a risen and living Savior who is very present with us now. The Jesus whose presence and power and glory was seen first of all at a wedding in Cana. This Jesus, in all of his presence and power and glory, is present with us now. And not just here and now, but wherever and whenever Jesus is with you, your risen Savior. God provides for us. The God of all grace provides for us in Jesus to take care of our past, to bring us strength and confidence in our future, and he provides for our future in Jesus. The Bible simply says Jesus has gone ahead to prepare a place for us. That's great. That's a picture of coming home. It's a picture of everything being ready, the arms of the Father waiting, a place prepared for you. It reminds us that Jesus will return. Do this as often as you do until he comes. Jesus will come again. And this shaky world will be set firm. Jesus will come again, and this unjust, upside-down world will become just and the right way up. Jesus will come again, and all the wrong things in this world will be put right. And his kingdom will never end. The God of all grace knows. The God of all grace provides. That's the God who invites us to come and to share in the sacrament. And to him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we talk, we sing of grace, but most of all, we want to experience your grace. So we thank you for Jesus. Lord, help us, not just in this time together, but to be open to the refreshing flow of your grace, that we may then serve and honor you in all that we do. And to you, Lord, be the power and the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. Amen.